Our launching pad is Daniel chapter 10, because there's so much there that it has to say, and I'm going to, in a few moments, be handing, I think, something else out to you. I don't know, did we hand out the brochures? I don't want them right now, but so you still have them back there. Good, okay, we'll hand them out in a few moments. When I look at the world we live in today, and I read Daniel, reading all of Daniel's not really that big of a deal. I mean, you think about it, you know, a dozen chapters, but an awful lot of information. Daniel's a very powerful book, and Daniel is a prophet. I was thinking about the world we live in today, and I mean, we are at war. There is a lot of war all around us. There is violence. I mean, there is hatred. We hear about it almost every day. Our economy continues to struggle. A lot of people have lost homes, they've lost jobs, businesses have suffered, our healthcare is becoming complex and difficult, our schools are struggling. I just heard someone else sharing their school story. I think about every month I hear a story of the challenges that go on our school system, dealing with some of the craziness that happens. Our own president recently said, "We must declare war on war, so the outcome will be peace upon peace." I'm not totally sure what that all means, but I do know that he is acknowledging the fact that there is war and that there's a lot going on. And it doesn't take much to see that. All you have to do is watch the news, open up a newspaper, or read Daniel chapter 10. Because it's interesting that as we read Scripture and we read even the book of Daniel, we soon would feel like somehow Daniel knew what was going on today. And that we would read about really our own future in the past, right there. You read about that. We live in a time today, and I want you and I to be very serious about something. Because we live in a time where evil is very real and very dangerous. We see a lot of death taking place, moral corruption, and our generation is under attack. I mean, knowing that our high school youth are spending a weekend together to solidify Jesus in their life is so important and encouraging. I know that they're walking through an ambassador series of just discipleship, and in the time we live in, that is such a needed thing. Because there's an enemy that is seeking to kill, steal, or destroy anything that is good of God in us. You see it every day in our government, in our businesses, and in our schools. It just seems like the enemy's out to suck any goodness out of us, any joy. And it's just grinding away at the family. Daniel declares that there's a war. If you look at verse 13 of chapter 10, you see that declaration when he says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Withstood me 21 days. That is, if you look at that, that's talking about a battle and about war. And what Daniel's about to do is enter into a 21-day fast. And he enters into the battle by praying and fasting. I had this conversation just last week, Thursday to be exact, and I was talking to a couple about life and a situation that they were facing, and they were really in the midst of having to decide to do something that was difficult, and I'm not going to go into any details, but it just let it be that, and they were, you know, doing this together as a couple, and they were asking for advice, and I said, well, certainly you should really pray about this before you do it. Make sure you have God's clear direction and you understand, you know, that God would go ahead of you. And then I said something to them. I said, in this incident, I would add something. You ought to fast before you enter in the situation. Pray and fast. And it was interesting, their response, because here's a couple in their 40s who have been part of the church. They received the Lord probably a dozen years ago, and they've been involved in living life and church and all that kind of stuff. And I think we make some assumptions that you got to be careful, because when I said that, I was certain that they would have understood everything. And then he looked at me and said, well, why is going without food going to be helpful in this situation? I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, I don't get it. What do you mean fast? And it became very evident to me they had no idea what a biblical fast was, the purpose of it, or why we would do something like that. And that surprised me. For someone who had been in church, in a church situation, several churches, over the years, and they did not understand that biblical discipline and practice of fasting. And so today I'd like to talk about, using Daniel chapter 10, about something that God's calling us to do, and that is to fast. Matter of fact, we've been talking about it. You've had information that's come out about the fact that we are calling for a 21-day fast that starts a week from today. There is no doubt in my mind that God wants to see a breakthrough take place where we live, in this church, on this peninsula. And there is no doubt in my mind that the breakthrough in part will happen because God's people choose to be obedient and submissive to His will, what I believe God is calling us to do, pray and fast. Because we're contending in a spiritual battle. And make no mistake, the battle is much more than political, economic, social, relational. It is spiritual. And there is, even the Word of God declares, there is the visible and the invisible. And around us is an invisible realm. In Colossians chapter 1, it reminds us in verse 16 and 17 that there is a prince of the air. There are principalities that seek, that are in an invisible world, that really exist, that seek to do damage and harm to that which is visible. And anything that would live for God, make no mistake, Satan and his demonic forces want to stop you and I from living for Jesus. And so I believe God's calling us to break the strongholds of darkness in this area. And you need to understand, we live in a place that is dark. We live in a nice place. When you look at the environment, I mean, I don't know about you, but just driving by the water today and looking at the stillness of it and seeing the mountains and the reflections and just thinking, I was just excited to come to church today. And just the view of the drive and the green, I thought, God, thank you. I live in a really beautiful place. And I get to go to and hang out with a bunch of people I really love. And I said, what could be a better day than that? And then I was thinking of my message, realizing there's a lot of garbage around us as well. There's a lot of darkness that surrounds us. And it's just, to me, fascinating how such beauty can hide such ugliness. And that we must not be ignorant or naive of the fact that there is a battle going on. And the church, I believe, is naive. When you think about it, I asked this in the first service, so I have to ask you. When was the last time any of you fasted longer than an hour in the last 6 months? Where you actually set a time that you fasted, let's say for a, let's call it for a 24-hour period or more in the last 6 months. Raise your hand. Okay, about 10 of us in a group of 200 people, so 5%. That's why we're here. Can we hand out the brochures, please? These brochures, called Preparing for Rain, has some information about fasting. I am not going to read this to you, and I'm not going to walk through all of this. Some of you may already have this, and that's great. You can have a second copy. But I just wanted to make sure we understand a little bit of what's happening here and what's taking place in the life of Daniel chapter 10 and what we're going to talk about. You know, Daniel recognizes that he is facing the prince of Persia. He is dealing with a battle that is spiritual. And I love his response. His response is to pray and to fast. In this case, it's called a 21-day fast. How many of you heard of the Daniel fast? A lot of you have, because it's been made popular, and it's been made popular along the lines of, you know, to have good health and talking about how to lose weight, the Daniel fast. Matter of fact, if you go and Google the Daniel fast, you go to Barnes & Noble, and they have a long list of probably about a dozen books, all of it relating to the title, the Daniel fast, lose weight in 21 days. So I want to be clear about something. This is not about losing weight. I am not suggesting a weight loss program, because I'm into that. If you lose weight, praise God, but I'm not concerned about you losing weight. I'm concerned about you and I fighting a battle and getting serious about the battle that we fight. And we're going to understand why it is that this is so important. Now, in Daniel's situation, he chose a fast that was called a partial fast. You'll notice on your handout, if you open it up on that first page, it talks about fasting, and there's several types of fast. There's normal fast, partial fast, media fast, supernatural fast. And then you'll notice how to spend an hour with the Lord and then guidelines of fasting. I'll let you look at most of that. Let me talk about fasting. It is essentially going without food or some type of food. Normally in a fast, when I fast, I normally think of fasting for a day up to probably 3 days to maybe a week, where I will just have water and not eat any food. And the point of doing that is to focus time on a subject, a situation, to hear from God, to spend some extra time with Him, and to eliminate something that is distracting and time-consuming. They have to realize that when fasting was first designed, the preparation of a meal was very complicated and very time-consuming. So when you think about Daniel saying, I'm going to fast and I'm not going to have a normal meal, I'm not going to eat, you're talking about literally providing hours in the day that is no longer taken away in the preparation of food. Instead, it's time spent with God. I mean, you got to realize back then, you didn't go down to Safeway and buy your dinner. Back then, you literally started from, you know, harvesting your dinner and make it into something that could now be cooked. And then once that was all done, then you cooked everything from scratch. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the time that it takes to do everything that way. And so fasting was really something that opened the door for time with God. So however you do it, a normal fast was basically, and I want you to understand that was the purpose, spending time with God, and yes, being a little hungry. Because when you hear your stomach growl, like the other day, I had not eaten for like almost 3/4 of a day. I was in a meeting. Ever been in a meeting when you just haven't eaten all day and they hear you across the room? That's God's voice saying, I'm fasting. And that's the point. There is some suffering that goes with fasting. Yes, you are going to feel hungry. Your stomach's going to growl. And when you hear that, it reminds you what you're doing and why you're doing it. Why, it's growling. That's right. I'm seeking God right now. And that's exactly what ought to happen. Now, in Daniel's case, he's doing what we would call a partial fast. And in that case, he eliminated for 21 days all the good stuff of life. So no sugar, no pastry, no donuts, no pie, no cake, no sweets, no going to Starbucks, nothing of any fun for 21 days. And all he would do was eat just what was necessary to sustain him and stay away from all the foods. Now, there was even more to it than just that, but basically, that was what was happening. And then there is what we call a media fast. I think the world we live in today, a media fast, for some people, is going to be more of a challenge than a food fast. When you consider the average American spends approximately 6.5 hours a day watching something on a screen that has nothing to do with work. So that means there is some screen on that is making noise somewhere for about 6.5 hours every day of your life. Can you imagine turning that stuff off? And how, I mean, just think about it. That alone will change your life with all the time that you would spend with God and with the people around you and just being quiet. That could be life-changing. And we've discovered that as we've done this over the years, a media fast is in some ways more difficult because all of a sudden your entertainment is taken away And the things that you might turn on to get through an evening are shut down, and you hang out with Jesus. What could be better than that? Your stomach may not be growling, but man, it growls up here. You get hungry for a TV show. And when you begin to think of the stuff that's out there, we ought to fast from that. I mean, every day we see the TV shows, the movies, the advertisement that are trying to somehow create this crazy impression that somehow evil is romantic, evil is somehow redeemable, evil somehow you can have some relation. I was just watching again, there's a couple new shows coming up that have to do with zombies and spiritism and all this stuff. And I was watching this in the commercial and I thought, this is ridiculous. They're making this sound like it's a comedy and that there's something redeeming and relational going on and that, you know, this is funny, cute. And all it does is remind us that there is some really sick stuff out there. And, you know, if you're watching that stuff, shame on you. You got to think about what you're watching. Because that stuff gets in your head, and it's bad stuff. And it somehow makes evil seem funny. I want to remind you, as we address this morning, evil is dark, cruel, vicious, destructive, hateful, and everything of what Satan wants to do is to wipe you off the face of this earth. And you shouldn't play with it. Daniel recognizes this battle that goes on. So we are suggesting, and we'll talk more about it, but I would like to see us enter in a 21-day fast. And we as a congregation would do it together, but also I'd like to see a lot of us do this as individuals. Now let's talk about this. Our church needs to fast and to see a breakthrough that take place. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel. Let me tell you something. God is calling the church to raise up to be Daniels. And some of you need to take the step forward to break the stronghold that happens with prayer. You think about Daniel's life. Daniel's an amazing prophet who spent his entire life in Babylonian exile. He was a Jewish prophet. He was a Jewish, if you will, believer, that was taken captive, the people were taken captive, and he grew up and lived through four different kings, three of which died, ruling the Babylonian Empire. And I often wonder about Daniel and his thoughts, because I bet there are times when he really struggled with the fact is, you know, don't I ever get to go back to Jerusalem? Don't I ever get to go back to Israel? I mean, I love God so much. Why is it that he would allow me to stay captive in this Babylonian mess? Why is he leaving me in this hellhole? When do I get to go home? And I've often thought, how am I supposed to even feel that way? But you know what? I really understand Daniel to be? He was a man who was contented where he was at because God called him. And he loved God so much that I'm convinced he didn't have that kind of thought going on in his head. Because he knew God put him there. I want you to understand something. You're a Daniel, and God's put you here. And rather than being critical and cynical about the world we live in, rise up and be a Daniel, and let's fight. Rather than do the things that so often become what we do when we hear things, and become a Daniel that lives in the midst of all the craziness of life, we live in a world that ignores God's boundaries, is seeking self-pleasure, is self-centered, and hedonistic. And what are we going to do in the midst of all that? Join the crowd? Ignore it like it doesn't exist? Or stand up like Daniel? I believe that's exactly what God's calling us, is to stand up and be a Daniel. Be a people who are uncompromising in their integrity, who are willing to be committed, who are willing to honor God, fulfill their responsibility, and show God a life that lives for him in excellence, the best of our ability. And the church needs to wake up because it is pretty naive. You're going to hear me say this a couple of times, but sitting here for an hour and a half is not going to make it. We're really talking about what happens when you leave this place and how you live life the rest of the week. Again, Daniel 10, chapter 10, verse 1, the message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, look what it says, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, what he's saying here is, and I want you to notice the connection of mourning to fasting. This was not business as usual. When you declare a fast in your life, you know what you're doing. There's a reason for it. One of the mistakes the church makes is we fast as simply something of a discipline without connecting to why we're fasting. There needs to be a clear purpose. And in that purpose, there is a sadness that goes with it because you're fasting over something that is concerning you. I mean, this isn't something you do because, man, life is just really great. Let's fast. This is something you do because someone, and we'll see in a moment, there's reasons for fasting. Someone is going through sickness. So there's something happening in the world around us. There's some kind of tragic situation. There's something that you want to see changed. And so you come to God and you say, God, I need to pour out my heart and my life. God, I need to set aside this time so you and I can really be close together and do battle against this thing. And that's exactly why you see the terms of sackcloth and ashes and mourning and weeping associated with it. Now, I'm not saying you walk around weeping, but there's something that's sober about what we're doing. You walk around with a sense of mission and purpose and understanding. And so you and I set aside a length of time to seek God. We set aside a fasting that's a certain season of time that comes. I think is in the next slide. And so we do this through prayers. We voluntarily deny ourselves. We fast from food and other distractions, why we've talked about it. So we focus our attention on God's heart and will so that we show the Lord, hey, I'm obedient and submitted to you, God. And I want to make something clear. Fasting is not a hunger strike in order to manipulate God. Now, a lot of you may think, oh, that's silly, Steve. Man, you'd be surprised. I've had conversations where people have suggested that their fasting is really about works and that somehow they think God owes them, almost kind of like a stimulus response type behavior. Well, God, I fasted, so now you have to do this. Can I make something clear? God doesn't have to do anything. God will be faithful to his word and to his promise. But you, I want to be clear, there's not one of you, including me, who will ever manipulate God. And if you want to try to manipulate God, let me know, because I'm going to stay clear of you, especially on a cloudy day. And so there are reasons why we have the Daniel fast. Now, Scripture reinforces it. It is clear throughout the Word of God, fasting is something we do. It is something that God has ordained, God has released. Isaiah talked about it. Look, it says in Isaiah 58, is this not the fast that I have chosen? That's God talking. And what is it? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. So here it is. Here's some instruction we're given. So fasting is something God has spoken of. And again, here's a review. Loose the bonds of evil, wickedness. Undo heavy burdens. I mean, these are all things that God can work as a result of fasting. Fasting cripples the powers of darkness. We're in a spiritual battle, Mark chapter 9. It says, and when he come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus answered and said to them, this kind come out by nothing but prayer and... So there's some situations that require and demand a different response. Business is not normal because this is very wicked. This is evil. This is bad. And so we pray and fast. There's lots of reasons for us to fast. Fasting is a very important part. and ought to be something, and I want to bring it back in the life of this church. We need to come back to this very important discipline. I mean, it's so important. See, fasting, we do this because God says, at times he speaks to us. He says, look, you need to do this. Matter of fact, Job says, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth. So here's what the scripture is saying is, God, I heard you, I listened to you, and in response to your voice, I am going to fast. It's almost kind of like, you remember when mom said, before you cross the street, you're supposed to do something? Stop, look, listen. Say it with me. Stop, look, listen. Still good advice. So you're about to cross the street. You stop, you look, and you listen. And there are times when God wants, or you feel like you need to cross the street of life. You need to get across something that may be a little dangerous. And the advice is really good. Stop, look, and listen. And hear what God has to say. Because too many of us are running out in the middle of the street and wondering why we're lying flat on our back because we just got run over by a semi. Because we didn't stop, look, or listen. There's something that we understand that we seek God's guidance in Acts 13. So there's a big decision that they were making. They needed to know what to do. And so while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, here's your answer. Let me give you guidance as to what you need to do. I mean, what an amazing connection. They were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Isn't it great that we can do both at the same time? Wow. It goes on and tells us that fasting is for seeking God's wisdom. And again, Daniel chapter 9, the whole premise of what was going on, and he was referring the word that he had given to Jeremiah the prophet and the prophecy of the last 7 years. And so he turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. There it is. So he's going, God, I need some wisdom here. And the best way to get wisdom is with prayer and fasting. It goes on. And let's go to the next slide. Can we have the next slide, please? Fasting is to break spiritual bondage. I mean, what a critical part of what we, again, Isaiah, we read, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen to loose the chains of injustice and tie the cords? Fasting is a response to the need of others. Look what it says in Psalm. Yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth, humbled myself with what? So someone's ill. When's the last time you fasted for someone who was sick? When you heard the report of cancer, you heard the report of some kind of disease or something going on, and the doctor said, yeah, I'm not sure what's going on, I'm not sure what we're going to do. Your response was, oh, no. How about, you know what, I'm going to pray and fast for you. I mean, think about it. I want you to be a little convicted here. When's the last time you fasted for someone who was going through a health issue? My guess is not very many of us. And yet God says we can do that. I mean, what an amazing opportunity here. I mean, fasting is a way to deal with danger, even potential danger. We see in Ezra, it talks about, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey. And we got people going to Guatemala. That's a dangerous place. And I wonder how many of us will fast for that team to protect them as they go into this place while they're ministering in this way. I mean, here is fasting help us maintain communication with God. It says, so we fasted and petitioned, that's prayer, our God, ask God about stuff, about this. And look, it says, and he, God, answered our prayer. Look at the connection. See, there are times when God wants to speak to us, and I believe God's waiting for that response of God's people. I mean, there's no question that fasting helps us to get closer to God, to sanctify ourselves before God with repentant hearts. And again, we see in Jonah what was taking place. It says, the Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And again, it goes on what took place. And they literally saw an amazing response because they realized, man, this God's amazing. And we need to humble ourselves. We need to repent. There's something about the response of what happens when God's people responds. Now look at, here's what Daniel's teaching us. Daniel's saying, listen, we need to come, you and I, to this response of fasting. Verse 2 and 3, Daniel chapter 10 again. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. I used no lotions at all until the last 3 weeks were over. He says, listen, you need to learn to wait on God. Now, listen, I want to make something clear here. This is not about not taking a shower. I don't want you coming here and not having taken a shower. What he's saying here is, I didn't use any of the luxury items that I had as part of my life. Trust me, Daniel would have made sure he was kept clean. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Man. This would be a powerful place if we did that, wouldn't it? But I want you to see that there is something very powerful on Daniel waiting on the Lord, seeking God, because he wanted to be careful. And here's something that I see happening regularly. And another reason why we need to humble ourselves before God: bitterness, doubt, and impatience. Those are three things I see a lot of. And I have to tell you, in the last 2 weeks, I've had three very specific, literal conversations with individuals who have said the words, typical conversation with at least three. I'm talking to a female, and we're talking about life, and we're kind of working around a subject. And finally, I looked at her and said, here's what I'm hearing from you. You are bitter, and your heart is broken over this, and you really don't like what's happened, and it's leaking out of you. And when she heard, when I made the statement, you have a bitter heart, like someone turned the faucet on, she started crying. And it was interesting because she said, Pastor, hearing you say the words, because I know it's true, I do have bitterness, but all of a sudden, this is the first time anyone has said those words to me, and it broke her. And God used that because the Spirit of God just worked right there. But these are things that so easily can happen. And Daniel wants to focus on God rather than circumstance, because here's what's going to happen. If you focus on circumstance and situation, you're going to get bitter, you're going to have doubt, and you're going to become impatient. Because sometimes things don't work out the way we want them to. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that sometimes things don't happen? You go and you say, God, here's what you need to do. And God doesn't do it. And then you walk away going, God, what's wrong with you? And there's this idea that you can become bitter. Bitterness is something we haven't talked a lot about. Bitterness happens a lot, but we hide it. A lot of us put up this kind of front, and what you wouldn't recognize is tremendous bitterness gets rooted into your heart, and it grows out. Or the doubt that happens because it didn't work out the way you thought it should. Or the impatience because, God, I've been waiting for a whole week. Why have you not responded yet? I mean, I can't think of how long we waited for God to do miraculous things on this peninsula. I'm thinking, God, I've waited 20 years. I think that's enough. And I can hear God saying, well, hang tight. You're going to wait another 20, brother. And you know what? You got to be okay with that. Because that's what God's called us to do. But when you see God and talk to Him and focus on Him and not on the circumstance, then a lot of things change. Are you with me on that? And so He teaches us how important it is to focus on Him and not circumstance. He teaches us to pray and pray and know that God has not forgotten you. I want you to hear something. God has not forgotten you. Jesus died on the cross for you. every single one of you. There is no one in this room that is excluded from what Jesus did. Jesus said, I love you. I will die for you. In fact, he did die for you. And he conquered death and hell for you. And there isn't one person that you cannot walk out of Lee's doors somehow thinking God doesn't love you or that God has forgotten you, because he hasn't. But it's easy to start feeling that way when you are not focusing on God and you get discouraged because things aren't happening right away. I mean, Daniel struggled in the same way, because in verse 10 through 13, I mean, this is a moment when all of a sudden an angel touches him. It literally says, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and the palms of my hands. And he said to me, Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And he said, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come because of your words. Now look at the connection. How powerful is that? Don't fear, Daniel, because the moment you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before God, you were heard. And somehow coming to peace with the fact that you know God understands your heart and your heart's right, and that you humble yourself before God. And you'll notice there's nothing in here about God doing it, agreeing with you, getting it done. But he says when you come the right way, he hears. Maybe the reason that God isn't hearing is because you're not coming with a right heart, and there's not a whole lot of humility behind what's going on. That's kind of hard, isn't it? But here's something, and again, I need to be a little tough on you. A lot of us in this room are not honest with God or with ourselves. We lie. Not intentionally. Not the kind of thing that, you know, a little kid does when, you know, he goes up to, like I did, goes up to the candy counter and just takes handfuls of bubble gum and sticks it into his pocket, and the pocket's literally bulging out. And Dad says, did you take any gum, son? No. Not a one, Dad. And then Dad said, take all that gum out. You can't have any. And when you're 4 years old, that crushes you. Because I said, well, Dad, not just one? Can I just have? No, you stole that, and you lied. You can't even have one. And I pleaded, and I begged, and it was very clear I wasn't going to get any bubble gum. And some of us still act the same way, like somehow we still can have that one piece of bubble gum. There's something very important that we need to recognize, that there may be times that, you know, how easy does it get discouraged when things aren't happening right away? And then we get in this place where we lie to ourselves thinking that we're doing everything just right. I want to challenge you on this. I want to challenge you to learn to be honest with yourself and before God, because it only will benefit you. There is no reason to not be honest about what's really going on inside. And I just know how often it is. We just don't even want to talk about what's going on inside of us, especially when we want to come before God in this. And so there's something here that's so important that we need to realize. There is an attack that is coming against us that seeks to destroy us. Again, Daniel chapter 10, verse 13 and 14, it says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. And basically, what's happening is a reminder that there is a war, there is an attack by evil forces, and Daniel, you're right to do this. there is something going on. And here's what God's saying. It's time for God's people to rise up. Now, I want you to get this. It is a numbers game. Because it's not just one guy, but all of the guys. It's an entire congregation that realizes that God has called us into a battle where we live on this peninsula. And it's a spiritual battle. And not just one of us is going to do the fighting. It is not my job to fight. I'm one of the gang. I'm a brother in Christ. I'm your pastor. And that gives me a different responsibility. But I'm a believer in Jesus just like all the rest. And we are all called to fight the battle. And the church must step up. The evidence of it not is how few hands are raised in fasting, in prayer. How much we struggle. That's why we are bringing the Word of God, to read it together, to study it together. That is why we're calling us to pray together. That is why we're calling us to serve together, to share together, to do all of these things so that something will rise up, because we are fighting a very real battle. And it's time the church stops being naive about it. I want us to win. I want to see us healthy. I want to see us be able to, in the midst of everything around us, because Jesus is going to destroy evil eventually. I know the end of the story. We win, he loses. You say amen to that? Amen. But in the meantime, we still have to battle with all the ugly things that happen. And how are we going to do that? God's called us. And it's something that we've been talking about. There's a premise and there's a promise. There's a premise and a promise. If we choose to seek the Lord, humble ourselves, fast and pray, then we know the Lord will respond and we will see change take place in our church community and in us. But this is a, remember the premise, condition, if, promise, then. Let me close with this. I see this passage misquoted a lot. And this comes from 2 Chronicles and chapter 7, a lot of us, verse 14. Let me just look at it. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. How many of you just love that and know that passage? Let me see. Raise your hand. How many know that one? Come on. A lot of you do. Yeah. Man, you hear that all the time. Man, that's a spiritual passage. I love it. Let's look at the whole thing. Let's look at it in context. Because here it is. Can you go back, please? So it says, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, Have you heard your prayer, and have you chosen this place as for myself as the house of sacrifice? He says, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among the people, he's saying, here's some bad things that are going to happen. So I want you to get this. This is like bad stuff. And so God is speaking right now. He appears to Solomon and says, you know what? There's going to be no rain. You're going to have locusts, and I'm going to send pestilence. Man, doesn't that sound like a fun day? But he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. And guess what? You will have rain. Don't worry about the locusts, and there won't be pestilence. But there's a condition. Can you go back, please? And the condition is, if my people pray, seek, turn, then I will hear. Are you with me so far? Now, that's a condition, right? It doesn't stop there. There's a second condition. Now, let's go to the next slide. And here we have, but. Whenever you see the word but, watch out. If you turn away, forsake my statutes, my commandments, which I've set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out from my sight and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. That's a bad thing. So here's the deal. You have two premises and two promises. I promise you, if you will seek me, pray, and turn, then I'm going to bless your socks off. But if you choose not to do that, then I'm going to cast you away. And we don't quote this one either, do we? We like verse 14, but we don't want to get to verse 17 here because this says that there's a responsibility that we have. This says that we're called to do something. And look, it even goes on. Look at the next. It says here, and as for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and this house? And they'll answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, embraced other gods, worshiped them, served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them. Ouch. So the Word of God is saying to you and I, there's a premise and there's a promise. The premise is if you will pray, humble yourself, seek after me, you'll fast, then there's going to be some amazing results. But if you don't, then you're going to go the way that the churches in Europe have gone. You're going to go the way, and we're going to see these amazing houses of God that are unbelievably beautiful. There's almost a sense of art about them. There's all these things going on about them, and they're empty. You know why they're empty? Because there's a people who forsook God. And make no mistake, how sad would it be that people would be driving by going, wow, I remember that place. That was a happening place, man. There was a lot of things going on there. Man, what happened to them? And the answer would be, well, they just walked away from God or decided that they didn't need to pray or fast or read the Word anymore. And as a result, the place just kind of got empty. Because let me tell you why a place fills up. Because God's present. Because Jesus is real. And you have people who really believe that. Not because there is something going on other than that. Like we're entertaining. Or we're doing something that's showy. There's something very powerful. There's a lot of powerful places. There's a lot of great places where they're serving God, and you see the result of that. God has called you and I to a place, and he has said, here's the premise, here's the promise. If you do this, then this will happen. But here's the deal, and this is, I know, this is the hard part. God says, and I need most of you to do it. I need a response that is God's people in its entirety saying, yes, God, I'm here, I'm on board, let's do it. Because if you're just going to let someone else do it, that ain't going to happen. I mean, I know that's hard. And if there was another way, if I could make it easier for you, I would, trust me. I'm not here to make your life miserable. But my job as your pastor is to interpret the Word and to bring it to you. And the Word is absolutely clear. We need to respond. It is a numbers game. And if you choose not to respond, then you are neglecting your responsibility as a believer in Jesus, and you're naive. Every one of us is called of God to respond to this. And so God's calling us to pray and to fast. I'm asking us to pray and fast, and I've listed, and we can add to this, but right now, it's clear that we're praying for salvation for our friends and family, especially as Easter approaches. We're praying for the building of a sanctuary, enlarging our tent sites. We're praying for we are about healthy marriages and families, children and youth. We want to see that happen in the life of this church. We want to see redemption take place. We want to see a commitment to generosity increase with Time, Talent, Treasure. We're about reaching out into our community with evangelism, sharing Jesus, small groups, learning, serving, and growing. And we're about going, such as to Guatemala with our GO team. And those are things that we ought to respond with prayer and fasting. And so God's called us to do that. You know, there's this card here that you have. And if you don't have one, they're available. I think it's time to respond. You know, someone said this to me. And again, I'm going to say a hard thing. They said, well, I need to pray whether I should do this or not. Okay, let me be clear to you. There's nothing to pray about. God's called us to do it. It's just about how much you're going to do. Now, I made it, and my thought was at least one day every week that you would set aside a day for fasting and prayer. I mean, that would be like the minimum. But you know what? You could put here March 15th through April 5th, I'm gonna do 21 days. I'm gonna do a Daniel fast. I'm gonna commit for 3 weeks. I know my wife and I, we talked about it a while ago. We're gonna set aside and we're gonna do the partial fast for 3 weeks, and we're gonna do it, because we've done this a lot. I'd like to see most of us do that, because God's called us to do it. Now, if you can't do it, there's other options here. But here's the deal. This is not about, gee, should I participate? Yes, of course. It's just a matter of how much you're going to do it. And I believe it's time that God's people make a choice. Because do you know what that says? It's time to repent. It's time to really face the fact that we're just not doing what we should be doing. And there's a lot more that each of us could be doing. There is a work out there that is seeking to kill us. And it's time that we fight.